Hey everyone, welcome back to We're Live Pal. Double G here with Andrew Zarian. And Andrew, before we get to a lot of the things that we're going to talk about, I wanted to mention our former co-host and our good friend, Denise Salcedo. Did you see the latest news for Denise?
Yeah, she's I sent her a message. I'm not going to go into it, but I'm so happy for her, and I sent her this nice long message. She's the host on Saturdays on Busted Open Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yeah, no, it's so cool. I'm so happy when I see stuff with her, like just, you know, all the new things that she's doing. And it's funny because I look at what she's doing and it's kind of like reminds me of my career where you work with somebody and the greatest thing you could do for them is kind of cheer them on and like just support them and stuff. And you know, you see people go to different departments or go to different jobs and you just kind of root for them. And that's kind of how I feel with Denise and also you yourself, though, you know, we're still doing this, but just so happy for Denise. I'm glad she's doing exactly what she wants to do, and just want to wish her continued great luck and success with all of her stuff.
You saw a couple bozos were trying to poo-poo on her parade.
I didn't see that. What happened?
One giant bozo was crapping all over her. And I'm like, dude, you know, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, genuinely works hard. If you have any brain to comprehend what it takes in broadcasting to, you know, go to satellite radio or go live on the radio or do your podcast consistently to the level that she does. If you had half a brain, you would recognize it takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. You know, it shows jealousy is so it destroys people. And for a number of people on the internet, they were obviously destroyed here. It's one thing not to listen to someone's content. Like I'm saying, like, listen, I'm not for everybody. And I know that. But to go and be to crap on like a happy announcement like that, it made me so angry yesterday when I saw it. So I sent Denise like a nice message and I gave her the rah-rah a little bit. But amazing. I mean, she's working with Fightful. She works with us here. She's working on Bustin' Open Radio. She's all over the place.
She is a byproduct of hard work and hustle.
Yeah.
And, you know, like there is a skill element to it. Obviously, she's a great host. She's on, you know, WWE's radar when it comes to them wanting to do stuff with her. So she has to have that skill level. But underneath it all is just an incredible work ethic. And her ability to manage her schedule and to be able to still do all the shows that she does is a really good thing too, because that's hard. Like I know when I'm like busy, and you know, a couple weeks ago we had Revolution in the Bay Area and I was like, okay, I got to get all my stuff done, but then I'm going to these shows and it's Wednesday and it's Friday and it's Sunday. Like, how am I going to do it? Like it could drive you nuts, but she has it all figured out. So just kudos to Denise.
We're getting old. That's part of it too. Denise,
but shouldn't we be
youthful.
Better at organization when we're younger? Shouldn't we be better at sort of figuring that stuff out?
Listen, at one point you just stop caring about some stuff, you know, like I said this on Observer, right? I absolutely love wrestling. Like I absolutely love professional. You know this. You and I, you've gotten to know me pretty well. You understand how my mind works with pro wrestling. And but one thing I don't get is the negativity that comes along with it. It's one thing to be critical of something, but you don't have to be a dickhead about it, you know, with anything, with the talent. Like I see what the talent, what they write to the talent, what they say about, you know, you see it all. And I'm thinking it takes for me to be willing to have an argument on the internet or to write this. It takes so much effort, right? And anger. Like that it's affecting my day. I'm blown away by just negative criticism to that extent. You know, and listen, Denise has a positive product. And that's why she's going far. You want to be a dick? You're not going to get far in anything. Not just wrestling. It's not gatekeeping. Be a nice, normal human being and you'll get far in life. That's all.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great
lesson.
That's
my advice. That's my
media
lesson of the day.
Be a good human. It'll take you far. The other thing I wanted to mention, and you know, we're being good F4W Online Wrestling Observer people here by mentioning something that, you know, unfortunately you're not able to attend, but is a staple with this this website, the F4W Las Vegas Convention, which is scheduled for the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, around Double or Nothing in Las Vegas. And there are a bunch of events for that weekend. And you can go to the Twitter account, F4W Convention, and you'll see the link to the ticket page there. But just want to mention a couple of different things because, you know, it's Las Vegas. We are back, right? We are back doing the meet and greet. The meet and greet is fantastic. It's an ability to meet up with Dave, meet up with Brian, anybody else who's out there from the website. But also, and this is where, to me, this is where my heart is with online community, to meet the subscribers. And there are long-time subscribers who go back as far as I go back, which is 2005. And to get to see those folks, you know, after not being able to see them for a year, like, that's really the fun part to me. But there are a couple of events here. There is the meet and greet and Q&A with Dave and Brian, which is, I believe it is Saturday. And that is at 10 a.m. at the FSW Arena. And then there's the Ed in San Antonio show, Poder Cinco, which is right after the Q&A. And then later that evening is the suite party at the Cosmopolitan. And that that goes from 10 p.m. to whenever the Tony Leader decides to kick everybody out. And then on Sunday, there's a brunch at the Wicked Spoon, which is, you know, year after year after year, we've been doing that. And then on Sunday, there is AEW's Double or Nothing. So there are a bunch of different packages that you could buy tickets for. Just go to the website, and it's an Eventbrite website, and you can check it out. And I hope to see you. You know, Andrew, the reason, one of the main reasons why I'm bummed that you're not going is because my wife is coming. Like, she decided to come this year and hang out with folks. And that would have been, I would have wanted her to meet my friend Andrew.
You know, if your wife was for it, I have a cool place that all of us could have gone to in Vegas.
Okay.
That I may or may not be affiliated with.
Oh, yeah.
That I may or may not be affiliated with.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
we could have done a whole thing. No, listen, I'm actually bummed I'm not going. It just, that weekend is ridiculously packed for me. Last year, I had to leave early last year because I had an issue at home. Everything was fine. My dad was sick. But for me, I wanted to stay. I wanted to have a time with everybody. I had a blast meeting everybody at that sweet party. If you are part of the F4W community, if you are a subscriber at the Wrestling Observer, and, you know, you want to make this trip, this is it. It's great encouragement to get you there because everybody's such a nice, you know, such a great group of people,
yeah,
top to bottom.
Absolutely.
Everybody there, everybody's so nice and everybody wants to just hang out and talk wrestling and nobody's insane. Maybe a couple of people. Our producer Suncast was there. He's out of his mind. So.
Yeah, I remember last year because Suncast had to do some round trips when it came to switching hotels and stuff.
Yeah. And we had the MJF situation. Nothing.
Yeah. That was crazy. And, you know, I've probably been too frustrated about that situation than need be, just because of how my weekend was shaped with everything.
Dude,
relating,
you know,
to
what?
That.
Between that, I want to ask you this, right? And I'll, this is a great question for the audience too. I know we talk about it often, right? But I'm still angry about everything that happened at Double or Nothing, right? Which I could kind of get over that because you could be like, is it a work? Is it not a work? I don't think people were affected watching at home, but I think if you were there covering this, it was a little frustrating. However, I'm annoyed with All Out. I'm still like, come on.
There is a little bit of like a bad taste in my mouth whenever I think about that. And so, I think it'll be different this year. You know, we won't have.
Listen,
a lot
here's
of the
what
stuff
we're going to do. We're going to send. John Alba in place of Andrew Zarian.
That's great. Know? Nobody would know.
I bet you. There would be a good number of those people who would go, oh, Andrew, you look a little different. You shaved, right?
You
there
shaved.
Would be some people who did that. Yeah, no. Well, we're going to have to.
100%.
Yeah, that would be good. That'd be awesome. All right. No, so just go check it out if you want to come and hang out, and it'll be a good time. And, you know, that the people, I think a lot of people are a little hesitant if they've never been before because they're like, oh, I don't know. Am I going to see people? Who am I going to hang out with? Just go. And people are so nice and they're going to want to hang out and they're going to want to show you the ropes and everything. So I would just say go if you're just thinking about it. All right, let's talk about WrestleMania. So I told Andrew we were going to do something about the build to this show called Hot or Not. And, you know, I think we feel like this WrestleMania has a pretty good... it feels bigger than most recent WrestleManias. And I do get some feedback from time to time when we talk about that. And they go... Well, to me, it really doesn't. It feels like the same old, same old. So I wanted to go through the big matches with you, Andrew, and see sure. if you thought from the build perspective, obviously we won't know how the matches actually are until later, but from the build perspective, do you feel like the big matches are hot in the build or not? Maybe they're not. And I have some
let's go down the card.
That are definitely not. So let's start with the big bad, the main event. Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. We did get a little bit of an advancement in the story yesterday. I thought, or last night. I thought Roman's promo was awesome. Cutting Cody down for being.
What did you think of Cody's side?
I liked it. I liked it as well. I thought he tried to tie some things into the storyline of the bloodline and how the bloodline has been working into. Well, you know, guys, Roman, you know what's going to happen when you lose? Everyone's going to leave you because the only reason they're here is because you're the big bad. You're the champ.
You know what I didn't like about it? I thought it was a very good segment to build the story. Right? The end was even better with Solo. You know, kind of not leaving with Roman and wanting. You could kind of see that they're connected. You know, in a way, they're gonna maybe that'll be the future feud for Cody. However, Roman is telling him pretty much like you sucked here and you couldn't cut it and you didn't want to do your job. So you left. And when you didn't get over at the other place, you also failed that place and left and came back. And Cody, instead of Cody saying like, I didn't leave because I was failing. I left because you idiots put me in makeup. Right? Wouldn't that be the line? Instead of, you know what, Roman, you're right. I failed. I did leave. I did run away.
Does believe it's a failure, right? Maybe he thinks that, okay, well, I didn't do a good enough job to make myself look like a main eventer in the eyes of the people who were in charge, and thus I had to leave and come back, which we know is a great way to do that, right? Drew McIntyre did it. And I know you've been making this point forever about how, you know, if not for the pandemic, Drew would be a much more giant star than he is today.
Absolutely.
But he left, came back, and you know, came back bigger. So that formula seems to work. And maybe in his heart of hearts, he really does believe that he didn't do a great job and he had to leave in order to come back.
Yeah, I don't know. This is my opinion. I'm sure it was if I'm going to nitpick, that's my nitpick, right? Because I think... I think Cody's doing great, but if I were to do anything, I think they've kind of realized to get away from like my dad's legacy now. They're not really doing that as much. They pulled back the last two times Cody was talking.
Well, can I tell you the only part I didn't like about Cody's promo was when he told Roman, stop bringing up my dad. It's like old news. And I'm like, dude, you're the one who brings him up more than anybody else. What the heck? Yeah. I'm blaming Roman for that.
Listen, man, I hope Cody wins. I want Cody to win. I want him to win. Not because I don't think Roman's doing great in it or it's lost steam. I think it's time to have some sort of emphasis on like, oh, okay, this is the babyface. This is who is the good guy and this is who is going to be the champion. And we could have this babyface run to see if you could have a clean cut babyface in 2023. because it's almost it's you know, we talk about this regularly. When was the last time that WWE organically put the title on a true babyface and were behind him at that level? John Cena, but John Cena was getting booed
from soup to nuts. It's been a while, right? Because they probably earmarked Cody for this role this time last year, and they're following through with it, and they haven't changed plans. So yeah, it's been a long time. So for you, has the build for Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes been hot or not?
I think so. Absolutely. It's been hot. Yeah.
I think it's hot too. I think it's
hot. You know how I know? I'll tell you exactly how I know. I have not consistently watched Raw live or in its entirety, right? Not an abridged version in a very long time. And since the Bloodline stuff started heating up, I started watching it a little bit more and a little bit more. And now I'm watching the entirety of the 3 hours in one shot. So, you know, I'm 30. I'm going to be 39 years old, right? I'm a very different demo than the 16, 17-year-old that's staying up, or the 20-year-old that's staying up and watching this. And I got a long day. I start my day at 4 o'clock in the morning. If I'm willing to stay up and watch this, it shows something, at least to me.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Okay, let's look at what Dave Meltzer believes is right now scheduled to be the main event of night one, though they have not made that official yet. Charlotte, the happy-go-lucky, plucky babyface Charlotte, against Rhea Ripley, whose character is a bit... She's got two different programs going, one with Dom Mysterio, and the other with Charlotte, and she's kind of a different character in both programs. She's Judgment Day Rhea with Dom, and then with Charlotte, she's kind of like underdog NXT heel Rhea, yeah, which is kind of interesting. I think if she went super heel, it would probably make Charlotte's plucky baby face a little bit easier to stomach, but just wondering what you thought about this program so far.
I'm a big fan of Rhea, and I don't dislike Charlotte like a lot of other people do. I get her entire role. I'm just a fan of Rhea because I think the character has more depth. I very much like what she's done with Judgment Day. But if you ever notice in the Judgment Day stuff, right, like she's not like Dom. They were in that restaurant, right, for Valentine's Day, and Dom didn't have the money, right? Like, so she has to pay. She's a little bit of a baby face there. You know, because Dom is such a loser, not the person, but obviously the character. And then with the Ray stuff in the ring the other night, when it was Rhea and Dom in the ring and Ray comes out, she played a little bit of a heel, but she backed out from their feud. She's like, I'm not getting involved in this family nonsense. I think her character is very genuine. Like, it's more of a realistic heel. I don't know if that's the right words. I feel like it's more in line with a real life personality rather than this over the top heel like a Seth Rollins, you know.
But well, it's also part of the story that they're telling, right? Because 3 years ago during the pandemic, Charlotte beats the up and comer. Charlotte even won the Royal Rumble, right? And then she went to Rhea and said that's the title that she wanted. That was the story, as far as I remember.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And so it was already a weird story from beginning. And now they're trying to use that to bridge to this. And I just think it's... if you wanted to tell this story, I think the way that you do it is you flip them and Rhea's the babyface and Charlotte's the heel. But you can't do that because she's with Judgment Day. And so what I kind of wonder if they will double turn at WrestleMania, because Charlotte's character, on-screen character, is not doing anything interesting in the build. And so for me, this one is not, even though I'm looking forward to the match because I think they're going to have a good match, but the build and, you know, making this a main event of night one, if that is the case, and that can always change, to me, this one is a not. What about for you?
I agree with you. I want to see Rhea win, but I'm not invested in the story, but I think you're right. The Judgment Day stuff has taken more precedence than this match.
Yes, I agree with you.
Considering, I mean, and that's wild because this is a world title match, you know?
All right, let's move on to Seth freaking Rollins against Logan Paul. They had a impulsive segment on Raw last night. And in this segment, Logan was trying desperately to get booze, but I wonder if he went off script or whatever his bullet points or whatever his memorized promo was, maybe he forgot some of it. I didn't think this was his greatest showing. In one sentence, he said that Seth Rollins is top three in the world of wrestling. And then in the other, in at the end, he said that Seth sucks. So I don't know. There's a little bit of an inconsistency there. And I'm not, you know, he doesn't do this full time. So, you know, I'm not going to give him too much crap. But then Seth comes out and they do their little brawl. And then Seth gets knocked out by Logan Paul's terrible overhand right again. So Seth is eating the fist now twice. And I imagine that will lead into whatever the finish is for their match. Hot or not with this storyline, Andrew?
I'm only going to go hot because I actually enjoy seeing Logan Paul wrestle because he's not a wrestler, but he wrestles at such a high level. That's my, like, I'm interested in seeing him wrestle. I'm not really drawn to the feud. I'd like to see Seth do a little bit more of a tweak to his character and not be this insane person anymore. I like a serious Seth Rollins, but as far as the match goes, I want to see the match because I want to see what they're going to do. And I know that they're going to do some crazy stuff in the match and Logan's going to, you know, every time he wrestles, he's even better than the previous time. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in a match. But as far as the feud goes, it didn't do much for me.
Okay, so I'm going to go not. And the reason is because I thought their best stuff was during the sneak attack at Elimination Chamber. I was looking more forward to the match at that point than after watching Logan Paul lay Seth out. So I'm going to say not, but it's more so because of the last bit of TV. Now they could change my mind next week if they do something different, because next week will be the go home stuff. So but yeah, I just think I think there was some heat to it that was there, and I'm not sure after last night that they were able to keep it going, but maybe they haven't, and maybe some people in the chat feel differently. Okay, Bianca Belair and Asuka. They were tag team last night, and then Piper Niven was going to squash Asuka. Bianca pushed her out of the way. Then Bianca won the match. Asuka got mad, laid out Bianca. This is really the only time so far during this feud that they've actually tried to get some heat on Asuka. You know, they did some goofy stuff with her and the color in her mouth spilling out of her teeth and Bianca getting freaked out. But to me, while this very well has a chance to be maybe the best wrestling match on either night of WrestleMania, because both women are so good, there's nothing that's happened so far that really makes me want to see them fight. And it's more like a respect kind of thing, because Asuka's great and Bianca's great. Maybe if they would have gone that way, maybe it's more interesting. But I don't know. I don't feel any heat for this program at all. And outside of the fact that I just respect both women and I think they're great, that's my only real reason to want to watch the match. So I'm going to go not for this one.
Yeah, I'm not. They haven't built it enough for me. I'm sure it's going to be a great match. I'm really into Asuka, and I'm really Bianca's fantastic. I'm into her, but it hasn't come across as like, I need to see this.
Yeah, agree 100%. All right, what about Big Brock Lesnar and Omos?
Oh, now? Yeah, I'm thrilled for this match. Are Here you kidding go. Me? This is the match of the both nights.
So, you know, I'm watching Raw and I look for opportunities to fast forward, right? Because there's so much stuff on Raw that you don't need to watch, right? You just don't need to watch certain segments and commercials and hype and video packages. Like, if you watch it last week, you don't need to see it again. And so I know why it's there. I get why it's there. It's WWE reminding people or catching people up, or maybe people haven't checked in for a while and they're helping people get connected to what's happened in the past. I get that part. But for me, I don't need to see it. And so they start this video package with Brock Lesnar and Omos. They talk about Brock's wingspan and the size of his hand. And I had my thumb on the fast forward button and I just never pushed it. I was fascinated by the stats of these two guys, of Omos, his wingspan being
his boxing reach. Yeah.
Right. His reach being so much more than a heavyweight boxer and all that. I was fascinated by this. And I have this weird interest, I guess, in watching them and whatever they're going to do. I think the build has been really fun. I love Moonshine Brock. And I don't know, this is hot for me, even though I know the match is just going to be what it is. But to me, the program is working for me.
I will say I would only be into this match if Omos comes out with the Andre singlet. Okay. And Brock comes out with the yellow undies. And they just reenact that entire match. That's what I want to see.
You call them yellow undies.
You know, and he's super tan. His hair is on the same consistency as Hogan. You know, he has that. He has, get the hot dog skin going, and he's set. I mean, how are you not into that? I don't know, dude. This has done nothing for me. I hope this is not Brock's last match for a long time, because it's a nothing. You know.
It's just an F5, right? It's just getting this big dude up for the F5 and doing it. Now, do you think, you know, because you mentioned the Hogan Andre thing, and there was a A&E Rivals documentary with Hogan and Andre that I watched just because I just kind of wanted to see all that stuff from when I was a kid again. But there is you could do the thing where it takes Brock like three times to get Omos up for the F5 and, oh, my back, and, you know, selling a little bit. And then finally, when he gets him up and he does it, then, you know, that's now they don't have to go as long as Hogan and Andre did, because that match was long, but they could a short version of that match.
40 minutes. 40 minutes, I want. Just him grunting, man. Like Andre, you know, he does the whole thing. So into it.
All right. Next match here. Austin Theory versus John Cena. Cena came out a couple weeks ago, buried him 6 feet under, and the last couple of weeks have been Austin trying to prove that he's the guy, and he's beaten, who did he beat? He beat Montez. This week, and last week he beat Dawkins, I think. And so this is the build to trying to get Austin over, and I am leaning not for this one, because if your plan was for Austin Theory to be able to carry this program without John Cena, I think he's trying. I just don't think it's working. And when you have John Cena in a match that should be, you know, one of the top two or three matches on the show, just for the fact that he's John Cena, this feels like middle of the card kind of feud. And so for me, this one's not working, but I may be off target here. I'm kind of wondering what you think.
First of all, I got to tell you, Austin Theory, he's jacked up now. I mean, he looks impressive. He's looking good. So
And plus you're a body guy, so that means something to you.
I'm a body guy. Of course. Of course. Listen, I'm not going to hide it. I'm a body guy. Don't look at me now. Look at my grandfather. He was the pro bodybuilder. I do think the story post WrestleMania will be what they do with Montez Ford, to be honest. Out of all those, that generation that's coming up, I would say Montez, to me, has the most upside, and I could see him as a very successful world champion in that company. Whether or not they get there properly, I don't know, or how they get there, but I do see that happening for him. I think for Austin Theory, this is to get a little bit of the rub for him, and he's in the ring with Cena, and there's that comparison with Cena. I'm in the middle. Can I take that as my answer? I'm 50-50 on this.
Well, I mean, I think by taking the middle means that it's probably not that hot.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I mean, you know, and look, John Cena can come on Raw next week or on SmackDown and cut a promo. And it will feel, this could absolutely change. But I just don't think Austin Theory has the chops or he doesn't have the originality, because he does feel like, you know, this is still the Vince McMahon version of Austin Theory. This is not like this, you know, this character that doesn't feel like it's handpicked. So I think that's part of it. And but, you know, I think they have a plan with him, at least. It's just it may not be working for me, but we'll see as far as the future here. OK, couple more and then we'll move on. Edge versus Finn Balor. So Edge does this promo where you only see his face. I don't know if you remember that this is before your time. It's before my time, too, really. But it's just an iconic album cover of Queen, and they're just the four faces in like on a black background, so it just looks like four heads.
Yeah,
and that's what the Edge promo reminded me of. You see this and it really showed how long and angular his face is, but just this promo where he's just his face, and he wants the demon Finn Balor and this hell. Now I thought it was a little over the top, and I'm not really a fan of Edge's promos, but I commend the effort. Like, this was creative as all hell. Yeah. His same dialogue that you usually get from Edge, but kind of a cool deal. But I'm also going to still say this program is a not for me, and it's not because of Finn Balor, because he's completely overshadowed by Edge in this feud. And I think that's part of Edge's thing, is that he just kind of overshadows everything. And so no matter who he's facing, it's always kind of an Edge feud. And I think that's happening with this one with Finn. Now, thankfully for the show, even though it is Hell in a Cell, again, it should be like its giant match. I think it has a little bit of that Austin Theory, John Cena stench, in that it really feels more of a middle of the card feud. And it doesn't feel like a semi-main event kind of feud. But just, you know, that could be me as well. And wondering what you think about this.
You know, I'll tell you what I think, right? Edge, his run, he's another one. If it wasn't for the pandemic, he would have had a very different story the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he didn't get injured, you know? That took him out of it, too. I would say... I'm not that interested, but I know the match will be fantastic.
And I think you can say that.
You got two amazing people in that ring.
Look, all the ones that I've said not so far, I'm still expecting the matches to be good. It's just, how is this built? Because, and also, historically, when back in the day when I was a kid, WrestleMania, the build was literally about one match. It was whatever match Hogan was in, and everything else just filled out the undercard. So from an actual wrestling standpoint, these matches are going to be 10 times better than whoever King Haku was fighting on a WrestleMania undercard, right? So the matches, I think, are going to be good. It's just my feeling about the build. And to their credit, the top feud does feel hot. And I think that's probably what's driving a lot of what we're talking about. Okay.
Absolutely.
Last one. Oh, no, I got two more. Dom and Ray, which is not official, but we know it's leading there. Dom says that he's going to tell his mom about his dad. Like that's where Dom is right now. I'm telling mom that you have to fight me. And that's where the next part of the storyline is going. Ray has said time and time again, not fighting you, dude. You're a spoiled brat. And Dom keeps coming out, keeps challenging the old man. We think it's going to actually lead to something happening at the Hall of Fame, where Ray is the big he's the big Hall of Fame entrant this year. And even though this thing is as slow as molasses as can get, I still dig it. I love it. I love everything that Dom's doing. You know, Dom screws up on his promos a lot. You could tell that he's thinking, and sometimes he doesn't get the words out exactly. But like, that doesn't matter for me like it does with some other wrestlers, because I know I'm like, this is just Ray's shitty kid. Like, he's not supposed to be great at this stuff, right? So I really love this, though. It's one of the best builds for me, and this one is way, way hot for me.
I'm really into this because I want to see a couple things. One, I want to see at the Hall of Fame, you know, like, first of all, how are they going to explain that he's sitting there, right? Or he's not there. Maybe he takes that as his godfather. You know, he takes out Conan, does something, and that gets Ray to get into the match. That gets Ray to do it.
Remember, we saw Conan take a bump in AEW. That was not good.
We did.
That was not good.
But you could do something where, like, he, you know, they cut to the back and he's laid out or something.
Yeah, totally.
You have a very unique opportunity to do something unbelievable. You have a father and a son. One wears a mask and one has the worst haircut, the worst mullet from 1993. God damn it. A hair versus mask match to end Ray's career? You know, if he's planning on retiring, you could do that. You could tease it and have, you know, him chop that hair off.
Yeah,
that'd
be great.
You have a very unique opportunity. I know that they don't like doing hair matches and mask matches in WWE like that. However, you know, you have a very unique opportunity that you rarely get like this. And normally these like family feuds don't really work too well. And I think this is working. They've done a really good job at this. I'm intrigued by it. I just want to see Dom get the crap kicked out of him at this point, which is exactly how you should feel.
I really like Andrew Zarian, the booker here. You could have... So we now this is, we're just kind of goofing off here. I don't think this may or may not. I don't know. We get to the Hall of Fame. Conan is going to be the presenter, and Conan is probably the best ideas person for this thing. I'm sure he's giving his input. Conan is about to introduce Ray. And like you said, somehow he has to, you know, he gets beat up in some place. And so instead, they introduce Conan, and out comes Dom. Dom, you know, gives his dad the worst introduction, just how, you know, he's a horrible person.
I would love that if it wasn't like to a lot of these guys. It actually does mean something to go in the Hall of Fame, which it should. You know, it would. Would Ray want his Hall of Fame induction? A guy that should have never made it in that company.
Yeah.
By all accounts, should his Hall of Fame speech be a storyline?
No, well, I mean, they seems like they've already agreed to it, right? If they're going to do something big. Because I'm with you. I would rather them not do it here at the Hall of Fame, because I like the Hall of Fame. I like the real speeches. You really see the real stuff, and I don't want it to be this worked thing. But if they're going in that way, then you have the match, and the match at WrestleMania is all about Ray being unable to really go for the kill in this match because he doesn't want to hurt his kid. And then Dom goes for the kill. And then, like you say, in Backlash in Puerto Rico, hair versus mask. And Ray gets the win, shaves Dom's head.
In Puerto Rico.
Yeah, at Backlash in Puerto Rico. Shaves Dom's head, and that's it.
Or Dom wins, rips that mask off, and he gets pegged by 20,000 batteries.
No way.
That could happen. I want to see that. A bunch of double A's just getting thrown.
Oh man, that would be crazy. But I do think they would, you know, if they wanted to go the heat way, that they could do that as well.
No, I'm into it, man. I think they've done a good job. And Dominik, you know, say what you want, but he's thriving in this role. This was the best thing they could have done.
Yeah, totally. Okay, last one, and I think we'll have the same answer here. The Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn finally signed. My worry with this whole thing was when they would finally get to the culmination of making the match, it would feel less interesting than before. But I think with what Cody did with his promo, kind of wrapping it up with saying, you know, Roman, you know, if you're not the king anymore, then, you know, these guys may not be as loyal to you as they have been. There are, you know, there's stakes in this match, not only the tag titles, but it's like, it is really, can we bring down the bloodline? Is that, you know, these guys have been wreaking havoc over WWE. Like, are we invested to bring this whole thing down? You know, to me, coming out of WrestleMania, the one storyline that is so compelling to me is Roman versus Jay, and Roman versus Jay and Jimmy, kind of, right? Like, because they've been building, you know, they've been doing a really good job about planting all of these seeds about where things can go. And so I'm invested in Kevin and Sammy winning this match because I want to see what happens when the bloodline, you know, all the chips are down for the bloodline. Where do they go from there? So to me, this thing is hot. Roman and Cody is way hot. Like this program is amazing. It's been amazing. And I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, you know, it's such a great moment for that building, you know, for them to win the titles, and they could do something cool, and they'll continue to, you know, defend the titles. Eventually, Kevin Owens will turn heel on them, and they'll have a SummerSlam match or something like that. I'm curious if how moving forward, what they do with it, right? Do they, if there is no bloodline to feud with, how much does Kevin and Sammy work? You know, defending it against random tag teams. Yeah. Are you going to be as invested then? I don't know.
Probably not, right? And that's just what usually happens. They do need to set up some other stuff, for sure. And that, you know, that's why we have a WrestleMania backlash, is because it's like, oh my God, we just did all of this stuff for this WrestleMania. Now, you know, what do we do next? And it's like, well, how about let's just do all these rematches so we get another month to figure this out? I think it's smart.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to get your take on something that was kind of running rampant on Twitter and other places of the internet on Friday, which is Kenny Omega versus Vikingo, and Tony Khan called it a dream match, which definitely to a segment of the audience, if you follow AAA, if you understand Lucha, if you followed when Kenny was going to AAA, that audience who knows all of that stuff, I think this is a giant match to them. But there's another part of their audience who doesn't really know who these people are. And then there's a bad faith part of their audience who is WWE fans just hating everything that they do.
Yeah.
And it just became this giant discussion about whether or not Kenny Omega versus Vikingo is a dream match. And to me, someone who is invested in Kenny Omega and his wanting to wrestle internationally and all that, I think this is going to be great. But to others, I don't know if they even know who Vikingo is. Where do you fall on this discussion?
I totally understand the other side of this argument, right? Where people have no idea who he is. And to them, it doesn't really mean as much. But if you watch AAA, if you follow, you know, you go on Squared Circle and you're watching these clips, or you're watching on Twitter and you follow like our audience, right? You're going to be into this. You want to see this match. You want to see what they could do. Vikingo, you know, he's relatively young. He's new. I mean, 10 years new, but he's relatively young. What is he, 26, 27? I think he's like 27. I want to see it. I want to see Kenny back as a singles. I want to see him do, you know, what the cleaner does. But, you know, who else? What's a bigger match for him to have? A guy that you've never seen him work with, which to, you know, the allure of, wow, this is, you know, this guy, you may not know him, but he's really great. Or is it, you know, build him on TV and have him against somebody that already exists? I don't think Tony, but, you know, we got to sometimes take our minds out of the WWE way of doing stuff and the way that WCW did it, where it's a whole new company. Tony thinks very differently. And sometimes, you know what? Having a random match where you don't know the guy, but you know, like, there's something behind him, kind of goes a long way. Now, I'm not saying, you know, Nick Gage versus Chris Jericho is what I was seeking. But you know what? I watched that match. I was like, holy moly, this is insane. And I was glued to it, right?
Yeah.
For all good reason, bad reason, doesn't matter. I was still invested in it. People are going to be invested in this when they watch this match. The crowd is going to be into it. They're going to build him up on commentary. And Kenny's gonna look like Kenny. And this is the beginning of the singles run again.
I think there are two other small things that you have to take into account when you do a match like this. One, Tony has probably tried to, and it seems like the whatever the problems were with AAA have possibly been resolved, or at least, you know, enough to make this match. Who knows when they'll ever have a chance to book Vikingo, because he's also busy in Mexico. And so there's that thing, like, you know, because I think some of the argument is, and this was my initial argument, which was, could we build Vikingo for a week? And can we explain this story, which is Kenny picked him to because he wanted to wrestle him, and so that highlighted and it pushed Vikingo up in the whole zeitgeist. But if you only have him for 1 week, you can't really do that. So then Tony instead did something on Rampage, and now there's been video packages and stuff that's on social media. So that's, you know, to the best of their ability. Because if you only have him for this 1 week, and maybe the deal comes in late, you can't hold it off and push it off and then go, okay, we're going to introduce him. And then who knows when we can even bring him back just because, yeah. You know. So I think a little hard to do that probably. And who knows, maybe they can still work together. But that's just sort of how I felt. And here's another small thing, because the other conversation about this is, well, AEW has a lot of other folks who Kenny Omega could wrestle. And why don't they get the rub from having this big match with Kenny Omega, who hasn't had a singles match on Dynamite in 2 years or whatever it was. And my suggestion to that is, because Vikingo does not work for your company, you can beat him and not worry about it, right? Because, you know, let's say it's Jungle Boy. Now, it wouldn't be Jungle Boy because Jungle Boy is now in whatever it is with MJF and the Pillars and such. But let's say it was someone like Jungle Boy. You go, okay, great match. Kenny's going to beat this dude, and then we're going to move on. That isn't as compelling, I don't think, for the fan base as is Kenny beating an outsider and then having a great match with this outsider. And then maybe the AEW fan base goes, wow, I can't wait to see this outsider again. And then it makes Vikingo a little bit more special. And the last and the small thing, I'm kind of glad that Vikingo isn't in AEW, because I think Tony would have a little bit of, if we've looked at some of the international talent, you look at a Bandido or a Rey Fénix or a Takeshita, there is this in introducing them to their audience. The way that he's done it is that they've had to lose. And I don't think if you're building this as a dream match, you don't want Vikingo to lose before he gets to Kenny. So those are the three things where I give Tony the benefit of the doubt for what he did. And I'm really excited to see Dynamite. Is it because it's Vikingo? Well, no, it's because we don't get to see Kenny Omega wrestle as a singles that much. And I love watching Kenny Omega as a singles wrestler. So that's more of it for me. But there are others who are like, wow, Vikingo, this is a match that I've always wanted to see. And Tony's giving it to that audience for you know, the dream match aspect of it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I get why he's doing it. Totally.
All right. Did you know?
I had to sneeze. I'm so sorry. I had to mute myself. I totally get why he's doing it. I also see the other perspective. Sometimes there's no, you know, right answer, wrong answer here.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever, then, you know, whatever he, in his mind, he thinks is best.
And we also don't know all the things that he's had to do in order to put the match together. Like, you know, this was probably really hard for them to put together, but he wanted it for his audience. So I commend him for that. Okay, let's look at the rest of this Dynamite card. Did you know that Sting is wrestling on Dynamite this week? We get Kenny Omega and Sting?
I did not know that.
So based off of an angle at the AEW House Rules show, their second, I guess, technically their second house show, it's going to be Sting, Orange Cassidy, and Darby Allin versus Kip Sabian, The Butcher, and The Blade. So, you know, seeing Sting wrestle on TV these days is actually really, really cool as well. So you get Omega, and then maybe you get some of the older Sting fans who are like, I kind of want to see what Sting's doing. So this is pretty smart, I think, if you're trying to draw some attention to AEW Dynamite this week. And some of the other matches, we get to see a tag team defense with The Guns against Top Flight. And I think there was something that happened maybe on Rampage, which I unfortunately didn't get to see before we recorded. But another solid thing between those two teams. I like The Guns. I know there's a part of the fan base who's like, why are the guns champions? It should have been acclaimed. And I get that part. I thought the acclaimed were going to actually win the belts back pretty quickly, but you know, the guns are not terrible and they are young. So I very much enjoy them. And they're facing Top Flight. And then we have Moxley against Stu Grayson, the newly hired Stu Grayson, who got over in Canada last week. I imagine both of them are probably bleeding. Wait, did you see that? I think Mox bled on the house show. Did you see that?
Yeah, of course he did.
It's crazy.
It's very thin skin. It's not his fault.
Well, I guess if you are, you know, you're running a small show. They didn't have a star-studded lineup. They didn't have an all-star lineup of matches.
Yeah, but 3,200 people in that building, dude.
Yeah, Mox was probably like, hey, I'm in the main event. I need to give them the whole Mox experience.
It's kind of commendable.
It's kind of commendable.
So did you saw the pictures, right, that came out of there, out of the show?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I haven't asked anybody, but it was very smoky in that building. Right? Did you notice that? It was very smoky and it looked
like the hazy lights.
It was very hazy. Was that by design or was that because if it was by design, I think artistically it looked fantastic. If it wasn't by design, I think it looked terrible. But I thought it was cool. Like it looked, it could have been the building, could have been just a bad building or whatever. But older, I thought, I'm older. Like, you know what? For AEW's first, you know, second house show, but first real, you know, okay, we're going on the road.
On the road.
3,200 people for a nothing show with, you know, just talent on there. You don't know, no major matches, nothing. I think that did fantastic. I think that was, you know, this is going to be a nice story of B market towns getting these house shows maybe and able to develop something with that.
I wonder if the matches sort of depend on who is local, because that's what it seemed like on that show was Tony was mostly just using the local people as well as some of the office to do those shows because they were going to be with him anyways. And so maybe some of the, like, maybe if they do it in SoCal, you know, where there's some bigger stars in SoCal, maybe you get a bigger show. I don't know. I didn't like the lineup. I would have been really disappointed if I went to that show. Outside of it, just, you know, house shows are a little bit different and they're, you know, when it comes to TV shows, there's these commercial breaks and stuff, and house shows just go. And sometimes you can see longer matches from people that you don't get to normally see. Like one of my favorite house show workers was Joe Henning. Whenever he was wrestling in a house show, he would always have a little bit of a longer time, and I always really liked his matches. So you could see stuff like that. But I don't know, you know, and maybe some of it is because I was at that Rampage show, which I've probably talked about a little bit too much, at the Cow Palace, where I was so disappointed in what we actually got for the money that we paid for those tickets. That probably is a little bit of my reaction to this house show, but for the fans' sake, if you run that town back again, do you have to bring bigger matches? Probably, because it's harder to go into a market a second time. But you can't argue with the success of selling at a building ultimately.
No, you can't. You can't argue with that. We'll see with the next one, you know, what they could do and what they do with the card and how they tweak it. This was more like a test, I guess, you know, to see what they could do. I wanted to, were they filming for this?
I imagine that they filmed, right? You would think so.
I would imagine. I would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they have a library of AEW House Rules shows or something whenever.
Like the old MSG shows. They could do their own little library. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could have someone voice over the shows, I'm sure, just voice over the matches. Like, if you think about it as less of a show and more just watch this match, you could totally do stuff like that. All right, let's finish up this this Dynamite card. Tony Storm against Sky Blue, Kip Sabian, or we already mentioned that match, and the one I really wanted to ask you about this one, Hook versus Stoke Dog, Hathaway. In a no DQ match. Now, Stokely is one of my favorite characters in wrestling. I don't think he's really had the greatness in AEW yet like he did in NXT when he was Malcolm Bivens.
And I saw him before that when he was better than Bivens, when he was on the Indies. Yeah, he was unbelievable in Evolve. Great. What a great character. I mean, WWE doesn't do managers, so, you know, they would have a hard time with him.
I am hoping that this is his coming out party in AEW. I'm hoping that we get the full Stokely Hathaway experience, because I think he's so talented, and I want to see him put to really good use as a manager. And, you know, he probably needs a top act or two would be nice and helpful for him, but I'm looking forward to just this because I like him as a personality. You know, he's going to do all the gaga for Hook and then, you know, get beat up and get hooked. But I'm looking forward to that for that reason.
Yeah, me too. I want to see what they could do with that.
All right. So last little bit of, you know, we have a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you one more thing, which is the story about Goldberg and him not having any more time in WWE as of right now. Could you see Goldberg in AEW? Would he even want to go to AEW? What is your sense on that?
I think he should go to the indies.
And
I think Goldberg needs to.
who's going to pay that dude?
You don't want to see him in PWG, dude? You don't think he should go to GCW? Masha Slamovich is their world champion. All of a sudden, Bill Goldberg comes out, spears her, and wins the title. You know what? If I was Goldberg, I'd do that for free, just to make people go nuts. I don't know, dude. You know, do you even attempt to put him on TV in AEW? What could he do in AEW? Is it a one-off where he just shows up and says, you know, just for the nostalgia of it, he shows up on the show and doesn't do anything after that? I don't know. I mean, I thought Goldberg's run, his second run in that company, was pretty good. I saw an article saying how terrible it was. I'm like, were you watching the first run? Because the first run was abysmal. It was
terrible. Talking about back in 2003.
Yeah, back in 2003. Compared to that, like the second run that he had when he came back, I thought that was really good. It was a very different person too. You know, he didn't have a lot of that anxiety of WCW with him.
You know, I went to, it's either the first or second Triple H versus Goldberg match on the house show loop when he came back, or when he came to WWE in 2003. And we're watching this match and we're watching Triple H put holds on this guy. And we were like, what in the hell is going on here? You didn't get barely any explosiveness from Goldberg. It was a Triple H match. It was so boring.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. You know what I would do? If I was Tony Khan,
and confront MJF?
No. I think that company needs an enforcer. He would be the highest paid enforcer. Put him in the kayfabe office and have him be the voice of Tony Khan instead of us hearing about this invisible Tony Khan, and then when he does come on TV, you know, he does his thing, which, you know, I think he would probably admit he's not a performer in a sense. He's a boss, and so it's a little bit of a different character. Have Bill Goldberg be the commissioner of AEW, man. Like, you know, you need a baby face to do that, to make the matches. You know, whenever you're watching,
I'm getting just like daymares happening. Not nightmares, but daymares. As you're telling me that, I'm envisioning the quota of 1999 WCW is at its max right now. Between Sting and Jeff Jarrett getting title shots on TV, exactly. And now Bill Goldberg showing up. I don't know. I'm getting a little bit of anxiety from this.
You know,
I got to turn on IATA and listen to Dave and see if the company's getting sold to WWE.
Tony Khan, very influenced by that. You know, 96, 97, 98,
of course,
Nitro stuff, right? This would be right up his alley. I'm sure he was a pretty big Goldberg fan just from the presence of it, not from like the actual wrestling standpoint. But that's what I would do. I think they need one, and he would be perfect.
Who's the match? Give me the match you would want. Like a real match you'd want to see Goldberg in.
I don't want to see him in a match because he always gets hurt. But there's something there with Samoa Joe or Wardlow. You could have him run through Jake Hager in somewhat of a comedic way. I don't think there's a money match, though, for a pay-per-view. Maybe there is. I'm just not thinking
him and
about
Jericho.
Jericho's going to put him in a front face lock again?
Jericho's going to put him in a front face lock, yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that. That might be fun.
I'd be into that. Yeah.
All right. We're done here. We got through the whole show with all the things we talked about. So thanks to everybody for listening. And if you watched on the live stream, really appreciate you checking in. We'll be back next week, the week before WrestleMania. There will be lots of stuff to talk about because there always is. So for Andrew Zarian, I am Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.